while I would love to have a crystal ball that allows me to look into the future, I think there are some predictions that we can make. One of those is that I think that universities will continue to focus on residential full-time programs in their traditional mode. But I expect that there will be what I would consider greater diversity in the course configurations and the delivery modes. I also believe that hybrid and blended models of instruction are very likely to grow. I think that schools, students, instructors are beginning to recognize the value in that model, which is really sort of a best of both worlds, in that we can take advantage of the online tools and use those when in fact those are the best tools. And then we can rely on those face-to-face components to place at the same time. So as we look at that, I think we'll also see a greater degree of what I might call unbundling. For example, I believe that some universities will begin to explore micro-credentialing, although I don't really see that this will be adopted very quickly, and that probably what will happen is that these micro-credential opportunities, probably individual courses, will in fact probably initially be offered by auxiliary units within universities. In other words, I don't expect that we will see disciplinary departments embrace those options very rapidly. That opportunity has in fact been around for quite some time. And I think that what we will see is that departments may eventually come to that, but I do not see that happening very quickly. And instead that we will see offshoots, as I said, auxiliary programs that will take that on. In terms of the teaching and assessment methodologies, as I said, I think hybrid course configurations are going to become much more important. And one of the things that I believe will make this happen is that we are getting to the point now, finally, after many years, where online instruction is becoming what I would say unremarkable. It used to be that online courses were seen as something very different. It was very innovative. The instructors who participated in that were seen as innovators and really being ahead of their time. In fact, especially since the pandemic, we see that that's not really the case. And having those online opportunities, I think as we get to that time where online instruction is really, as I said, unremarkable, this will signal, I believe, a greater acceptance of not only fully online courses, but courses in hybrid or blended configurations that incorporate elements of online instruction. You know, we've talked for many years about this idea of, in fact, there's sort of a cliche that we've come to hear over and over, which is that instructors should be not the sage on the stage, but the guide by the side. And while we've talked about that for, I would argue, decades, we haven't really seen a rapid adoption of those models. I think that we are getting to that point, but what we're seeing here is that we're expecting individuals to change and to adopt new teaching behaviors, when in fact, that can be a very slow process. So while we would like to think that in fact, we're now very learning-centered, some people would say student-centered, we still see an abundance of teacher-centric models. So I think that as we move forward, we will continue to very gradually see a movement toward greater student engagement, greater student autonomy, and the teacher as the guide rather than the center of attention. Finally, in terms of assessment, one thing that I think we are going to see much more frequently is assessments. We've relied for many years on what I would consider high stakes assessments, a cumulative multiple choice exam at the end of the term, when honestly, that's not really a very authentic representation of what happens in one's professional life. In fact, what happens when you are working is that, in a sense, you are tested every day in small ways. And so I think what we're going to see is a greater reliance on those low stakes, authentic kinds of assessments. And then I think we will see some adoption, I hope, of what I would call adaptive assessment, where for certain kinds of tasks, students can be presented information and then quizzed on those things. This could be done online, and this could free up the teacher's time to engage with students in more higher order kinds of activities. But this sort of adaptive instruction, where students are presented information, quizzed on it, and then either presented more information or allowed to move on, can be very useful for remedial activity or simply for building a foundation of content information. So in terms of technologies, I think that what we are going to see is that what we would consider the tried and true means of delivering content are going to continue to be the mainstay. But how students access those, I think, is going to expand. There will be more opportunities for that. For example, text-based information. We now have many opportunities to receive text-based information. We also have a variety of opportunities to access images or audio or video. And again, I think that simply the way we access those will expand and we'll have more opportunities. There are a couple of important points about that, however. The first is that we need to pay attention to things like infrastructure and access. Many students, we discovered during the pandemic, did not have ready access to high-speed internet. It was easy for us before that happened to think, well, internet access is ubiquitous. Everyone has it. Everyone has a phone. But in fact, we discovered that was not true. And so I think we need to think very carefully about infrastructure issues and equity and access to ensure that, in fact, all students are able to get the content that they need. The second point, and I think this is equal, expecting machines to make a difference in student achievement. It does not happen. We have decades of research showing that, in fact, if I read, let's say, a journal article on paper, or I read it online, the actual learning isn't affected either way by the technology. But in fact, what does make the difference is what I'm expected to do with that information. And so as an instructor, I can simply tell students, read this article. And however they read that, they're going to learn the same amount. However, what can make a difference is if I tell students, read this article, and here are the things you should look for. And this is what you should be asking yourself as you're reading this material. Now, all of a sudden, I've encouraged students to be much more engaged with the content, regardless of the technology. And so I think that we need to let go of this idea that technology on its own makes a difference in how much students learn.